The Gwaltney Group.
The following is a sponsored program paid for by Robin Gwaltney. Gwaltney Group. REMAX Results. Welcome to Rochester Real Estate, featuring Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group REMAX Results and Andy Brownell. Here's Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk, 1340 KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
Good morning. It's already Saturday again. I'm Andy Brownell, and because it's Saturday, we're chatting with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group REMAX Results. Good morning, Robin.
Hey, good morning.
Another week flashed by just like that.
Oh my gosh, it's so crazy. I actually had a shortened week because I had traveled to Chicago for a couple of days and did some guest speaking at two different offices, one in Grays Lake, Illinois, and one in Oak Brook, Illinois. So I got to meet a lot of new REMAX agents and, excuse me, just share some tricks of the trade and talk about things that work. And, you know, of course I told them they need to get their own radio show. That's the secret to success.
So if you're a suburb of Illinois and the town starts with the word Oak, I imagine they're pretty nice areas.
Oh, wow. It was crazy nice. Their office was beautiful. I actually had a little fun because the broker owner drives a Bentley. So I'm like, okay, I need to get a picture in your car. And then her office manager came out and made a video of us, like, you know, dancing to some music in the car. We had a good time. Yeah. It's a little different than life in Rochester, and it's a lot different than life in Reed's Landing, but it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. A Bentley would stand out a little bit in Reed's Landing.
You think so? Yeah, I think so. Anyway,
it might stand out a little bit in Rochester too, for that matter.
It was, it was such a beautiful, we had some beautiful weather. We were there on Wednesday and Thursday, and they were just, yeah. Thursday was like a really sunny, gorgeous day. And so it's a little white convertible. So we had the top down, and she goes, "You want to go for a ride?" I'm like, "No, I really didn't come here for that. I think we need to just get to what we came for," but it was fun.
I remember this is decades ago. There was a local realtor. I'm not going to name the person, but he had a Ferrari. Back.
Oh, wow.
This would have been in the 1970s.
Wow.
And the same thing. You want to go for a ride in my Ferrari?
Because
who has a Ferrari, right?
That's so funny. Oh, and so that reminds me of a video I saw. So we were talking, and one of the things I was talking about is, you know, video and advertising and what people are doing. And there was this young agent there. He was like 22, 23 years old. Really cute kid, really energetic, enthusiastic. And he was showing me one of the videos he made, and it was so funny because he borrowed her Bentley and he was in the driver's seat, and somebody came up to him. Of course, it was his friend doing the video, and he's like, "Wow, man, that's a nice car. What do you do for a living?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm a real estate agent." And he goes, "Wow, that is a great car." And then he gets out, he goes, "Why, do you want to buy or sell a house?" And the guy goes, "Oh no, not at this time." And he jumps out of the car and he chases him down the sidewalk. "You sure you don't want to buy or sell a house?" It was pretty funny. You know, that I said, one of the things that I always talk about when I speak is you've got to be authentic you. Like if I made a video like that, people would think, did Robin fall and hit her head or what happened? You know, it's like you have to be true to your personality. And that kid was, and I thought it was super effective and super cute. But anyway.
And all I kept thinking was her auto insurance agent will see the video and go, "You're letting a 20-year-old kid drive that car? What are you saying here?"
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, boy. Well, luckily it was parked.
Yeah, okay.
I don't think they actually drove it. So speaking of decades, when I was going through articles for this week's show, I came across one that almost made me cry. It's on the cover of Real Estate News, and the title is On the Move. And the top story is about John Colopy, our broker owner, who you know I absolutely adore, love, respect, admire, all of those things. And oh my gosh, you know, when I got the phone call that he was going to be stepping down, I was so sad. Happy for him, of course. You know, he's been at this for over 40 years. He has built the most amazing franchise, multi-billion dollar franchise. And he just, you know, his story of how he did it, you know, his determination and his work ethic. It's just something to admire so much. But boy, oh boy, I will miss him. And I mean, he didn't die. You know, he's not going away. He's just going to retire and enjoy his life. So I don't want to be selfish about it, but I'll just miss his, you know, my day to day, week to week interaction with him. And he says, oh no, you can still call me for anything. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. You're retired. I won't be that person. I will let you be retired. But one of his daughters, Suzanne Bouchard, is going to step up and be the new president. She had been running our closing company, well, their closing company, Results Title. She had been in charge of that in all their branches, and now she's going to be the president of the company. So it's a big
move. Well, it's perfect, though, too, because it seems like that would be almost a seamless transition.
Exactly. I will say I did swallow the news a little bit easier when I found out that Suzanne was going to step into his place, because I agree with you. I feel like that, you know, he's still in her ear, right? He'll still guide her, you know, and our CEO, Brenda Tusshaus, is amazing. And she's been our CEO for a while. So I will say our company has already had some pretty darn strong women at the top, and now we'll just add one more to that collection.
There you go. But
yeah, we're all right. We'll be fine.
Well, you have that. An organization has values.
Exactly.
And when a transition happens that way, and it's especially if another family member takes over, you can have a fair amount of confidence that that value system will survive.
Exactly. And, you know, this is the thing. John started out by buying with his partner one RE/MAX franchise. And over the past 40 years, that became 43 offices, 1,800 agents. I mean, it is so impressive. His partner died some years ago, and so he's been on his own for a while. But just what he accomplished is so crazy amazing. And I'm always so proud to tell people that I work for the largest RE/MAX franchise in the U.S., you know. And so, of course, we all know that RE/MAX is a very, very well-known real estate brand, you know, arguably the number one. Everybody says, well, it depends on number one at what? Does it have the most agents? Well, we sell the most houses. So in my opinion, that makes us number one, right? So,
yeah, the most hot air balloons. I know that.
Yeah, there you go. We have the most recognizable logo. Like, you know, you take a 3-year-old past a McDonald's, right? They see that big golden M and what do they say? French fries. They know. And people see that RE/MAX balloon and everybody knows wherever you are in the world, that is real estate and that is real estate professionals. And then we have the brokerage that we work for is the number one franchise in the country. And then of all of his 43 offices, the Rochester office is among the most productive of the offices. And of course, within the office, we're the number one team. So I always say to people, well, if you work with us, you'll work with the best of the best of the best of the best. But if you can do better, go for it. All right. Maybe that sounds a little cocky, but it's true, right? I mean, we're very, very fortunate to have such a strong brokerage behind us and such a strong brand behind us. And I feel so grateful every day.
How old is he that he's heading into retirement?
He's 10 years older than me. So in June, he'll be 72.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Years. He deserves it. And the thing is he has also started a big foundation, the Results Foundation, which, you know, he raises money, a lot of money, and gives to some really awesome causes. So I think his focus is going to be more on the foundation, because I'm going to promise you, he's not going to sit around and do nothing.
He's going to go buy a Bentley.
Yeah, he has a lot of cars. He's a car guy. He's a car guy. I don't think Bentley's his thing, but he likes muscle cars and fast cars. And yeah, and he's like, you get him in those cars and he thinks he's 21 all over again.
We all do. That's the whole point, isn't it?
Well,
anyway. I'm glad to know he looks at the garage before he looks at the house like I do.
Oh, yeah. He's all about the 6-car garage.
All right. Well, Robin, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results. It's News Talk 1340, KROC-AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340 KROC-AM and 96.9. To Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results, and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340 KROC-AM and 96.9 FM.
Welcome back, everyone. Andy Brownell with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group, RE/MAX Results. And you're a franchise owner, Mr. Calipi. When does his retirement?
Calipi. He's actually, it's official, Calipi.
Mm-hmm. I can see Calipi. Okay.
Yeah, you know what? He's written a couple of books. If I should give them to you and you should read them because you'll find out what an interesting cat he really is. And they're short, easy reads. I'm going to do that. Remind me to do that.
Okay.
I'm going to give you these books and have you read those. But anyway, John, I just feel honestly, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I just feel so blessed to have worked for him for these last 10 years and to have become such a close personal friend of his and to have him in my life because I can't even put in words how much he means to me. He's just a fabulous person. But let me just tell you about what he's accomplished, okay? So I said that we're the number one franchise. We're actually the number two franchise because the number one franchise is in Canada. But we are the number one franchise here in the U.S., all right? And in 2022, he was actually ranked among the top 25 franchises of all brands, okay? So not just RE/MAX. So, I mean, this man is crazy successful. And according to the T360's 2023 Real Estate Almanac, our company had over $7.4 billion in sales volume that year. Okay.
Wow.
So it's no small operation that this man has developed. And again, so honored to be a part of it and wish him nothing but the best. Long, happy, healthy retirement with lots and lots of fun years ahead.
That number you threw out was larger than the gross domestic product of some countries.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we work for the bomb of the RE/MAX companies. And so that's why when I'm in Chicago or anywhere talking about our brand and our company and our office, it's like, man, we are so fortunate to work with the top guy out there. So yeah, very blessed.
Where's the office in Canada that's the top one?
You know what? I don't know. They just have a ton.
I'm thinking Toronto or something like that.
Yeah, and I think it's all over. Like, I think he has a ton of offices as well. But so, and they've kind of, there were some years where they flip-flopped back and forth because then, you know, John would buy a couple other RE/MAX companies, so he'd go ahead and agent count number, and then that guy would buy an so they'd go back and forth. But anyway.
Okay, so Robin, what makes the RE/MAX Results brand? I mean, what did he bring to the table that made it work so well?
I think his authenticity. You know, to know John, he is John, and some people find him too straightforward or too. I don't know how do I explain it. Some people are like, he's different. That's what I love about him. He's so real. He is himself. Sometimes he says things that maybe he shouldn't. Maybe he's a little bit edgy, but in a good way. I mean, he would never say anything to offend anybody or to hurt anybody. He is just the heart of solid gold, but he's just real. I think people have loved that he's real, and he's just been a really hard worker, and he has been smart enough to surround himself with good people. Like I said, there's some really strong people in the leadership at RE/MAX Results. And that's what, when I see our emails come out, like what's going on in the company, it's crazy to me that like every week somebody's celebrating 30 years with the company, 25 years with the company, 25 years,
yeah,
with the company, 20 years with the company, 20 years with the company. These are real estate agents, you know, and literally real estate agents will jump all over the place. I don't know if they're chasing, you know, greener grass or what, but there's agents that'll work at this company, then this company, then this company, then this company, and this. I don't understand it. You know, I worked at Coldwell Banker for my first 14 years and thought I would die there. I never wanted to leave. I loved Coldwell Banker. I loved the brand. I loved the broker. I loved everything about it. But what John did is whenever he bought a company, he sent his recruiters out in full forces because he wanted all the top agents. He just wants what he wants. And so he doesn't settle for no. So they kept calling and calling and recruiting and recruiting and meet for lunch. And I would say, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And finally, they just sent me an offer. And I was like, what in the world? So bottom line is I'm now at RE/MAX and have been for 10 years and have never looked back. Yeah, it's been fabulous.
I'd rather deal with a person like that that is straightforward than the person who I kind of detect they're trying to snow me. You know what I mean?
Right. They talk out of both sides of their mouth. They'll say this to this guy and they'll say that to that guy. Nope, not John. He's about as straightforward as they come and he'll tell you what's on his mind and he'll stick to it. And I love that about him.
Absolutely. Yeah, deal with it.
Deal with it. Deal with it. Exactly. So hopefully he'll have a fabulous, fun retirement. But like I said, he ain't going to quit working.
He's got that foundation. Yeah.
He'll be busy running the foundation, raising more money, doing more good.
Well, congratulations. Anyway.
Yes, I know. Congratulations to John. Not to me. I'm sad, but I'll survive. All right, what else should we talk about? Home prices continue to reach new highs. They're just going up, 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 Andy. They're not getting any cheaper.
Somebody predicted that. Who was that?
I don't know. The latest Case-Shiller Index reported another record high with U.S. home prices increasing 6.5% year over year. So there you go.
The bank account I live in.
The bank account you live in, don't forget it. So April's median existing home sale price of $407,600. Now, this is from NAR, so this is across the nation. You know, we're not far off the average of the across the nation, to be honest. But the April's median existing home sale price of $407,600 was the highest ever recorded for the month of April. And last month in May, that price has gone up to 433.5. So it's not, wow. They're just going up, up, up. Yep. And so the record high was 460,300 in October of 22. So prices, you know, as we know, did go down a little bit after they skyrocketed. Sure. Because again, it wasn't that values had increased. It was that people were paying over value to win in crazy multiple offer battles, right?
But even those folks now have largely remade, I mean, their actual value has caught up with, especially if they get did it early in the, I'll tell you, I had this conversation with my daughter about, you know, personal, what is it called, net worth, right?
Yes.
And we were talking, oh, you know, our generation will never be able to enjoy the wealth that your generation was able to build because of, you know, I said, what are you talking about? I go, this home you own is going to account for a big chunk of your net worth, and it's already gained in value from the time you bought it a year and a half ago. It's already gained 15% in value.
Exactly.
Without, it's
the bank account you live in. And keep that in mind and take care of it. Take care of it.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to take another break.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Yeah. All right.
Time continues to zip by. We will return in a moment with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results on Newstalk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
We'll be right back with Robin Gwaltney and Andy Brownell on Rochester Real Estate. This is News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM. To Rochester Real Estate with Robin Gwaltney from Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results and Andy Brownell on Rochester's News Talk 1340, KROC AM and 96.9 FM.
It's Saturday morning. I'm Andy Brownell with Robin Gwaltney, Gwaltney Group RE/MAX Results. And this is our chat about the Rochester area, southeastern Minnesota area, real estate market. And as you were saying, home values continue to go up.
And I'll just give you a little bit of a broader boat picture. Okay. So we'll talk about what's going on across the country. So some of those areas, like those pandemic boom towns, if you remember us talking about Austin, Texas, one year went like 33 or 35% year over year. The Scottsdale, Phoenix, Arizona area was the same. I mean, they were going nuts. California. Well, according to this article, it says that the pandemic boom towns are taking a back seat now. So COVID was a boom for those Sunbelt markets, but the bigger gains the last couple of years have been in the northern metro cities. So regionally, the Northeast saw the highest annual gain with 8.3% growth. So I think everybody that scattered out of the cities, you know, out of New York City, out of Boston, out of some of those big cities because of COVID, are obviously going back. Now, maybe it's not the same people. Maybe other people are moving into the city. Hard to say. But those cities are seeing the prices growing now. So regionally, the Northeast saw the highest annual gain with 8.3% growth.
Wow.
While the momentum has slowed in some areas that previous experienced that fast growth, such as Phoenix and Dallas and Tampa. So cities with the biggest gains, well, here's California again. San Diego up 11.1%. I don't think they could really afford that. It was already a really expensive.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
New York up 9.2%. Cleveland up 8.8%. Los Angeles 8.8%. And Chicago and Boston were both very close behind with an 8.7% gain. So monthly growth was more modest at 1.6% overall for city indexes. But among the metros that were analyzed, Seattle and San Francisco saw the biggest increases between March and April. So where prices and inventory are headed? I mean, a lot of people ask me that all the time. And it says that some housing market economists expect prices, the price growth to slow some in the coming months, which combined with improving supply could potentially offer some relief to the buyers. Well, wouldn't that be lovely?
Yeah, well, that's what the Fed keeps waiting for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they've been looking for all along, is a little bit of a leveling off here.
Right. And given the surge in the mortgage rates, you know, between the end of March and the beginning of May, we actually expect both home price growth, inventory, and home sales to moderate in future housing markets. So I feel like that is, like you say, has been the goal and is happening. All I can tell you is we remain very busy. You know, I was very proud of the fact that 100 days into the year, we sold 100 properties. Now I think we're probably, I don't even know, but getting closer to, what is it?
Well, it's end of May. June. It's actually, my goodness, we skipped into June and I didn't even notice.
Yeah, so January, February, March, April, May. Let's just say 150 days roughly into the year. And I think we're at like 138 transactions. So, but now we're really busy, so it won't be long and we'll level out again. So if we stay on track to do a deal a day, I am pretty doggone excited about that. So
yeah, that's amazing.
Busy for sure.
Those home values going up in the Northeast and in Silicon Valley, and you know, I keep reading these Fortune 500 companies are working to bring the workers back into the offices. To mixed results. So I wonder if that's part of that too. The people who scattered, especially I think Silicon Valley, San Jose, those areas where, you know, the work can be done remotely. That
right.
Google and all the rest of them are telling, no, we want you back on campus.
Speaking of different areas and different MLSs, not to change the subject, sorry, I think you're absolutely right about that. You know, people who did move away because they could work remotely have to get reeled back in if they have to go back into the office. I've seen some of that even in IBM, you know, they were all 100% remote. I had a couple of people who moved up north to their cabins who now are like, oh, we're going to have a town home in Rochester because we do have to go back in the office a couple days a week. But that's okay. You know,
I've seen that at Mayo too. People who were completely remote are being told at least a couple days a week. We want you in.
Well, and I guess, you know, remember how concerned I was about what's going to happen to all the commercial real estate if everybody works from home?
Yeah.
So I think there is definitely some, there's just a lot to balance. Let's just say there's a lot to balance. The restaurants where people went to eat lunch over their noon hours, if they're all at home, you know, there's just a lot. The economy is a really sensitive environment, isn't it?
Yes. Interdependent.
Interdependent. That's a very good word. Okay, so let me talk about something that we haven't talked about in a while. This NAR settlement, wow, it is far from gone away. You know what's happening now? Some of the big MLSs, there's one like out on the Northwest Seattle area, they just finally said, forget about it. We're not doing it. We're not changing anything. And they decided we're just going to disengage from the National Association of Realtors. We'll be our own local real estate government, and we're going to do it the way we've always done it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I think, you know how that, well, you know what usually happens when one leads, more will typically follow. So I feel like, you know, the DOJ just isn't happy with what everybody agreed upon. Like they agreed that, okay, we will no longer publish the commission, you know, it'll have to be written in the purchase agreement, the